Hello there, Dunder Mifflinites, and welcome back to another episode of The Office ASMR, a sleepy time podcast. And I hope you enjoyed the super-sized extra-long episode last week and are ready and strapped in for another super-sized long episode this week as we get into the second episode of Season 4, but is technically the third episode because these are double headers. This is Dunder Mifflin Infinity, and I totally forgot. Last time I talked about how incredible this season was, this is the Dwight and Michael drive into a lake episode, and I like blanked on it until I saw the name. Another incredible series defining moment, series defining reference on here. Now, tonight, the episode is directed by Craig Zisk, aired October 4th, 2007. So I'm just trying to do mental math here. It seems like the next episode might go up on the day. Like, we're getting very close to episode air dates lining up with episode published dates, which really doesn't matter at all because the feedback that I get from, on Twitter and in the reviews is that I should do this more often. Maybe I will. That would be great. But as always, much appreciated. Any feedback, responses, reviews is all much appreciated, but I never want you to do it while you're supposed to be going to sleep. The idea of this show, the idea of the podcast is you get the screens out of your face, you get cozy, you're relaxing, you're falling asleep, and hopefully, you're asleep halfway through the episode. If not, my goal is to be boring and to put you to sleep. So we're going to get into the episode here. Make sure your sleep timers are set. And our cold open begins with Pam grabbing a drink in the break room. And Jim is grabbing chips. They're both getting lunch together. And Pam sneaks a little kiss in the break room. Jim gives her a sweet little, how dare you. And Toby is like, oh no. And there's a memo that everyone's reading. It says, Toby, what is this? The company rules involving PDA. Some people in the office have complained. And Michael is like, this isn't Jan and I in our office. It was consensual. It has nothing to do with you. I don't think anyone heard anything. Most people had left by that point. Michael is saying, what you should do is roll up the memo real tight. And Angela says, I've never been involved with anyone at work in any capacity. And Dwight doesn't like that. Toby says, Jim and Pam. Michael is like, what? Jim and Pam are like, yep. And Michael is like, yeah, tuna. Kevin says, I knew it. Pam is like, is this your fun way of congratulating us? Toby says, yes. Get a counting in the back. Michael is holding holding Pam and Jim's hand together. This is a day that will live in infamy. True, October 4th, 2007. Jim and Pam become one. We've been dating for a couple of months. Michael gives Jim a huge hug. And then the phone rings right in time. And Michael says, let it ring. Let the bells of Dunder Mifflin chime out your love. Michael's like, this is really good. This is really good. My heart soars with the eagle's nest. Dwight says, I think they both could do better. Angela says, Pam is the office mattress. And Andy says, guess who's the best looking single guy in the office? A nice big smirk. I can't remember if I have references in a past episode. I also can't remember where it's from, whether it was from one of the commentaries or from one of the podcasts, but the intro scene where they go past the Scranton sign was from the time that John Krasinski drove through Scranton as like a discovery trip when he got the role, and it was like a little VCR tape. Now we have the party planning committee setting up a party for Ryan, and the welcome back Ryan party. Kelly comes in a particularly dressed up manner. Pam and Jim are together. Ryan is visiting. Only thing to make this day better is ice cream. Now there's a shot. It's like a security camera shot of Dwight in the hallway holding a cat. And Angela comes in. Dwight says, look, here's a replacement cat for the one I destroyed. His name is Garbage. Moe calls him Garbage because he likes to eat garbage. And all of these shots of Dwight and Angela are very, like, through windows or through doors, trying to show that this is, like, a very quiet thing. Very secretive. I don't want garbage. I want sprinkles. And Dwight seems disappointed by that, but he just kind of lets the cat into Bob Vance's office and just bolts. His head's right out. Jim and Pam come back to visit Toby. And he says, look, we need to find one of those dating things for the company. Toby says, it's only for relationships. If it's just a casual thing, no need. Not to speak for Jim, but it's pretty official. Toby's like, let's just wait and see what happens, he says. Just wait. Okay. And then I think I noted this in the last episode, but Jim is back to rolling up his sleeves and looks like the slobby, lovable Jim that we all know, which was gone in season 3. He was always buttoned up and, you know, his shirt sleeves and everything. And then he got the haircut in the last episode. Now we have Ryan coming in his BlackBerry. He's back and he's with a beard. All grown up and no place to go. Ryan's not having any of it. Oh, and then Kevin ruffles his hair and says, fire guy. And then Andy's like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Look how big he is. You're so mature and old. And he says, oh, you're a little man, little old man boy. Ryan taking control. His everything is different. I'm your boss now. You have to treat me the same way you treated Jan. Ryan says, Michael's like, that's a little kinky. He has a gay crush on me. Ryan says it's inappropriate. Stops right now. And even Stanley sits back and he's like, oh. Okay. Settle down. Let's get serious. Ryan has an important presentation. Conference room in 10 minutes. He said, and Michael says, yeah, Ryan snapped at me, but there was a twinkle. He says, "Dude, we're friends. I'm the big boss now. I have to seem like an ogre, but you know me." This is like a very extended interpretation of a tiny twinkle in Ryan's eye. "I would never take you for granted in a million years. I miss you, man." A lot of yawns tonight. A lot of yawns. He says his words. "Dunder Mifflin Infinity. Streamline the business model. There's a B2B website interface that will allow us to compete with big box chains." This is a great talking head of Jim. He's like, "I'm not sure what's wrong with Dunder Mifflin's site." And it says coming in 2002. This is 2007, 5 years. "We're becoming sleeker, more agile. Everyone will get Blackberries to set them up. What if we don't want to use a Blackberry? Because they're stupid." 2007, this was literally peak Blackberry. Because 2007 to 2010 is when the iPhone just completely tanked the whole BlackBerry market. But they were still very dominant into, 2010 was about the tipping point. Creed is like, "When's the website going up, Cool Beans?" And then he goes to Michael and he says, "We're screwed. You, me, the old timers." Michael says, "You are like 100 years old." "Retraining, new system, youth. This kid is a Grim Reaper. It's a good shot." There's a good shot of Michael like farting around with a BlackBerry. Now we have Jim and Pam back in the break room. In the interest of revealing secrets. Dwight and Angela dating. Pam is like, "No." Pam's like, "No, they've been dating for 2 years. Since before the barbecue." What a callback. Jim is like, "You knew and you didn't say anything?" Fair enough. "We should have started dating a long time ago." They're both like so happy. Pam's like, "I didn't know you were in there. I couldn't see your hands." Phyllis is like, "It's great what you're dating. But when a new client calls, you have to randomly assign them to a salesperson. You can't base who your clients are based on who you're sleeping with that week." And that is why we waited to tell anybody. Ryan is texting or messaging furiously on his BlackBerry. Yeah, see this? I had this BlackBerry in, 2008? Those things were bulletproof. Those things were amazing. Because this is also around the era that they had the BlackBerry Pearl, which was like the smaller, slimmer model. And they have the condensed keyboard. Wow, this was peak BlackBerry. Ryan's like, "Look, we're doing a new system, everything. We're not on the same page. I know exactly how much time and manpower wasted in this branch. This company's getting younger, faster, and more efficient. You need to prepare yourself." Michael says, "When he was younger, there was a foreign exchange student, and I thought he was my brother. They called him my brother. He went home to Yugoslavia, taking all of my blue jeans with him. I spent the whole winter in shorts." That is what Ryan is like. A fake brother who steals your jeans. What is that? That's amazing. Ryan comes back to see Kelly. "I'm dating a lot of guys. Black guys, mostly." Toby is like, Come on. Phyllis is like, how do you touch one button at a time? I can't see half of the screen. It's a great, Phyllis is doing a great old woman. Big Kelly, now we're back with Kelly and Ryan. I don't think you ever cared about me. I hope you're still committed because I'm pregnant. And then there's a shot of Kelly just like, no. Do you feel prepared to help me raise a baby? Toby's just sitting there like, mm-hmm. Yeah, see, there's a marked difference in this season, and I can see it in the last episode and this episode, of the ensemble just becoming much more critical. It's like the first, well, you know what it could be is that there's the core. They're literally the stars of the show. The core, Jim, or Michael, of course, Jim, Pam, Dwight. Those are the primary stars. And then you had the auxiliary cast. And then, you know, I think the season one, for sure, season two, that was the core. And then season three got muddy with the Stanford storyline. And you had Karen, you had them, but you can get a lot of time. You had a lot of Jim and a lot of Pam and a lot of Dwight and Michael. But now, in season four, we've pared them all down. And now it's just I missed Dwight and Angela were back in there in the kitchen. And now we have Jan and Ryan and a weird exchange about who has whose job. And now Jan's having lunch with Michael, and Michael's like, what's the deal with blackberries and testicles? Jan's in like a tracksuit, sweatsuit, launching a big new website, blah, blah, blah. He's being a world twerp about it. Trying to squeeze out the older people. Ageism. What is ageism? Companies can't discriminate against old age. A truck threatened with a lawsuit. Yes, Michael. And then there's a shot of, it's behind the head. And you can tell, I don't know, you can just instantly tell it is Creed, but his hair is black, jet black. Or I guess it's like a purple, it's black. Oscar says, Creed, everything okay? Everything's cool, dude. I'm 30. In November, I'll be 30. Ryan comes into a conference room with everybody in the conference room. And he said, Michael came and told us to meet us here. And then Ryan sees pictures on the wall of Rose from the Titanic. Where's the beef? A shot of Tom Hanks in Big. And then, what is the guy? Ben. This is the guy that plays Gandhi. Ben, I'm blanking on his name. New ideas are fine. They're also illegal. It's a form of ageism. I am right. Did you know that the Age Discrimination Employment Act prohibits based on age? Toby's like, hey, yeah, he's right. Shut up, Toby. Why do we hit old people? Creed says, because they're lame. Many cultures revere old people of their storytelling ability or the funny things they can do, like where's the beef? Oh, Ben Kingsley. I was going to put up new pictures, but the ink in the printer was gone. Oh, and there's a shot that looks at Creed, kind of indicating that the black hair. And then there's an old man that comes in, and Michael says, "Who's this old fart? This worthless bag of bones." This guy is one of the founders of Dunder Mifflin, Mr. Robert Dunder. And everybody, Dwight is like, "Yes, absolutely." And they close it up, and he's standing there. Michael is like, "Look, I'll call David Wallace, and you can explain to David Wallace why you threw out the founder on his ancient butt." Bob, how old are you? 87. Did you know Bob is still a member of the board? I haven't been to a board meeting in years. Still sends his own proxy, good for you. Dwight says, "I'm going to live for a very long time." His grandma, 101, grandpa, 103, down in Argentina. My travel visa was protested by the Shoah Foundation. And that is a reference to in Argentina, that his, and they talk about his lineage with the Germans. But the German Dutch, that his grandfather might be a Nazi. So. I knew Mifflin through the Rotary Club. And he's telling a story and everybody's quickly losing interest. He was tall. He and Mifflin were tall guys. Michael's like, "Oh my goodness, thank you for coming in, Robert Dunder." Cool. And Michael just like shuts him out of the place. "You can't teach an old dog new tricks because it's illegal and you'll go to jail." Pam says, "I think I should help him get home." "He doesn't need help, Pam." Jim's like, "Yes, go help him." Michael gives him a thumbs up. What a nice guy. It's interesting. I guess the founding of the company could have been around Scranton, but not New York, but the New York is headquarters. I don't know. Ryan says, "Technology helps business." Michael says, "Look, I can prove to you." Kelly says, "Look, let's go somewhere romantic and expensive." Ryan is like, "Oh no." They're matching, so sweet. Now we're out at dinner with Dwight and Angela. How's your noodles? How's your meat? Dry and delicious. I heard a joke today, which is a very weird, awkward exchange between the two of them. And then Angela's like, "Look, I can't do this. Every time I look in your eyes, I see sprinkles, stiff, lifeless body." Dwight says, look up here. It's an old sales trick on my forehead. "Please don't do this, monkey." She said, "I'll leave your toothbrush on top of your tire tomorrow morning." And Dwight looks distraught and very sad. So that's about that. Yeah, that's the end of the first one. And now we have a conference room with all the salespeople. So we have Andy, Jim, Phyllis, Dwight, Michael, and Stanley. And they got a whole conference room table full of things that Michael says are the finest delicacies around Scranton. in a big basket. Michael says, look, I think he is forgetting about the original instant message. Letters attached to baskets of food. It is a nice, it's a huge basket. It's like the size of your torso. Dwight goes back to Angela. He kind of lingers around her. Oh, look, I never really noticed that calendar behind her. Elevators. Angela says, we're not seeing each other anymore. Except that. Dwight says, fine. I just want to be friends. Plus a little extra. Also, I love you. Angela's not having it. It's revealed that Kelly lied about being pregnant. We're never getting back together. Why not? Jim heads up to Pam's desk to eat some jelly beans. Says, hey, I just have to ask. Now that we're public, is the magic gone? They're so magnetic. There is a complete difference between the two. Pam's like, hey, look, I now find you repulsive. That's honest. All right, fair enough. Jim's like, hey, it was fun while it lasted, huh? For me, it was. And then he heads back to his desk, and they both just have this electric smile between the two of them. Dwight is loading things up, and Michael says, look, we've lost 7 clients to the big chains. These gift baskets are a ticket back to their lives. We're going to go to the businesses unannounced and going to win them back with peanut brittle and macadamia nut cookies. Wow, I'm getting, oh, I would eat all of these things. A little bit of fat and salt. That's what people like. Michael says, since I was a kid, people told me you can't do things. Can't be on the team, go to second grade. Oh, you think I can't win back clients using old-fashioned business methods? We'll see about that. And FYI, I aced second grade. I was the biggest kid in class. I love the little, like, nuggets that come from stories like that. Why don't we just go as teams to demonstrate our teamsmanship? Phyllis says this is stupid. How is a gift basket going to get our clients back? Gift baskets are the essence of class and fanciness. The ultimate present. Cash, you could buy whatever you want, including a gift basket. What about a gift basket full of cash? Andy's like, yes, cash basket. Michael's going by himself, because this is important. Dwight says, wait, let me go. He says, this is my quest. Dwight says, I need to win those clients back. All right, Godspeed to both of us. We don't need luck. Thank you, that was nice of you to say. No Blackberries, no websites, old fashioned. I'd like to see a website deliver baskets of food to people. That was a good one back then. Ryan is like, look, we could downsize Kelly and outsource to India. Creed says, hey, brah, can we get some Red Bull for this thing? Sometimes a guy's got to ride the bull. Later's Gator. Oh, yeah, now we got a rental. The Sebring is in the body shop. I have a dent taken out of the hood where I hit Meredith. Larry Myers went to his Office Depot. And they got it. Michael has a GPS. So he says, why do you use something? Then they know who you are. Government, spy satellites, private detectives, ex-girlfriends. And you see him like, who? Michael. There's like a look to camera in the rearview mirror. Ryan is recounting a cool night in New York City to Andy and Kevin. Vince Vaughn. You're so money, but you don't even know it, but you do. Later, guys. Jim hears a story, too. He's like, look, how awesome is Ryan now? Jim says, yeah, he's definitely something. Jim's like, look, you like that lifestyle? And is that appealing? Tuna, 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 tuna. Killer job. He's rich. He smells like what I think Pierce Brosnan probably smells like. He wears rich guy clothes, and he can get any girl that he wants. Jim is like, If you don't know why that's awesome, you need awesome lessons. Kevin says, tuna, check you later. Jim is literally reading a newspaper. Now they're in a body shop. And he's like, look, we got honey mustard pretzels and focaccia crisps. He's like, look, we're at the Office Depot now. Dwight says, we've not gotten over you. We're dedicated for customer service. He says, look, I don't think we're coming back. Just enjoy the gift basket. And remember, we have a personal touch. It's about money, guys. Thanks for the gift basket. Their website's really easy. It's a big deal. He's like, he was so... Sometimes people are impossible and they make you miserable. Like Angela in accounting. Dwight says, no, she's wonderful at accounting. Make the next right turn. Michael says, how do they know where to turn? Very impressive. Ryan says, look, we don't know a final design logo. If you're really into this, give it a shot. Pam's like, oh yeah. Can you use some mock-ups and I'll take a look? Pam is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Jim gives her like a night. Oh, and there's the high five. That's a great gift. Pam is going to do some mock-ups and then turn them to thumbnails. Do some splash frames. Now they're at a law firm. And he's telling a joke. It doesn't really land. He's referencing his daughter. She's great. Thanks for asking. He knows how old she's going to be. And he says, I have a few of my own that I want someday. No, you know, don't take more of your time. We stopped by to drop off this, a bag of goodies. And reconsider. Thanks for the goodies. But he won't reconsider. Michael's like, is that all you have to say? Dwight is like, what's up? Michael says, we want you back. Can you offer lower prices? Why would he come back? I'll tell you, Dwight. We have a wide selection of products, and you're not getting the same customer service. Dwight is like, look, we had a chance and we killed it, and he walks away. Michael says, we're coming out with a website soon. State of the art. It'll cut costs and make ordering much, much easier. He says, look, when it's up, maybe we'll come back. He says, I don't really care about the gift basket, but let me know when the site is up. Don't let Emily have any of the Cajun think she's allergic. Proceed straight. 0-6, he says. Elmhurst Country Club is the last chance. Dwight says, on the other side of the lake. Dwight says, look, you could lose everything, it falls apart, you die, and no one remembers you. Make a right turn. And Dwight's like, look, you gotta bear right, don't turn right. And Michael's trying to follow the GPS. He says, go up over the bridge. He says, there's a lake there. And he's just driving into the lake. And then he says, the machine knows. He unbuckles. He says, exit the window. Make a U-turn. I wonder how many cars they sank for this. Because Dwight goes over the front. He's like, swim for it. And Michael, the look on his face, he's like grabbing the glass. He's like, what the hell? He's like, let go of me. Michael says, let go of me. And then the back of the car, the seat is floating. And there's a gift basket on it. Dwight is trying to pick him up. Michael's trying to go back to the car. And then there's just a shot of the car sinking. And it's funny too, you can see the cameraman shadow in there. And then they open the door, the tow truck opens the door, and all the stuff just falls out. Did you get the rental insurance? Because that is pretty important too at a time like this. And there goes the car. And then now just standing there. Dwight's like, all right, I'll call a cab. He says, look, still works. Old fashioned cell phone. Their website is so easy. We need a cab at Lake Scranton. Hey, Michael says, hang up. We're going to walk back. And we're going to reclaim our gift basket. We're going to take a stand, Dwight. And now we're back at Pam's desk. She's showing some like mock-ups on there. Ryan's like, yeah, I like it. It's really good. You have real talent. Let's talk about it more. Out to dinner tonight? Pam says, no. Pam's like, look, I'm dating Jim. Ryan says, you're kidding. And then look over at Jim, and Jim gives him like a little wave. She says, we're together. And then he's like, oh. Now he's got to recover. Let me look at these, okay? Cool. And heads back into Michael's office. This is a great line. Jim is like, look, he can't get any girl that he wants. He's so happy. Michael, now they've walked back into the law firm. He's like, did you forget something? Michael says, give it back. The gift basket, give it back. If you don't appreciate what we do, then give us back our basket. Maybe we should leave. Before we leave, my friend and I are going to wait on your nice couches. And then Dwight is putting it on, he's like, oh, my shoes are so muddy. Take it back. It's been opened. The turtles. Where are the turtles? Where are the turtles? This is a great one. We're missing a box of chocolate turtles. We'll not be leaving the premises. Hand over the turtles now. I hate the turtles. They're gone. Michael just says like, okay. And they just walk out quietly. Dwight says, we'll bill you. This office will not be using any new technology ever, starting now. Ryan thinks that technology is the answer. I just drove my car into a lake. Lake. Why did I do this? Because of a machine told me to drive into a lake, and I did it. Because I trusted Ryan's precious technology. Did you get any clients? Maybe. Those gift baskets never endangered everybody's lives. Game, set, match. And Michael and Dwight are just completely disheveled, wet, dirty. Still, Michael just goes into his office. And Dwight puts on a hat, Dunder Mifflin hat. Everyone wants new things, new inventions, new technology. People won't be replaced by machines. Life and business are about human conditions. Computers are about trying to murder you in a lake. The choice is easy. You're just smiling. Ryan says, I did not have a meteoric rise. I'm not saying, but I did. If they knew how much I was paying for my haircut now, they wouldn't be giving me a noogie. Was $200. And that's the episode. I guess, when's the launch party? I thought part two of that one was the launch party. That must be coming up here. Let's see. Let's jump into... launch party's next. Okay. So next we have launch party. And then, what do we have? One more after that, right? We have launch party. And then we have money. Yeah, so two more longer episodes, and then local ad is back to normal. So that will do it for the episode tonight. I hope everybody is peaceful, rested, and slumberful, and I will see you in the next one. Good night, sleep tight.